We've got another son that God's added to us, and that is our young brother here. So if you'd like to come forward, Stuart. Stuart. Stuart's a wonderful Scottish lad. I've asked him to share his testimony, and I've asked him to speak slowly. Because you may struggle, but
yeah,
we'll see.
It's like a strange man. Can you hear me? Yeah, right. I'm just trying to think how to start it. Growing up, I was brought up in a Christian family. My dad was a Christian, my mum was a Christian. From a very, very young age, I remember the presence of God being in the house. And my dad wouldn't let me leave the house unless he laid hands on me. Unless he prayed for me. He wouldn't let me go to school unless he prayed for me. And I would go to church every Sunday. So I knew God, and I never doubted that God was real. I knew God was real, and I had faith. When I was 12, I came back home from school, and my mum and my dad were having a divorce. And that was when I got given the choice whether I wanted to go and stay with my mum and my dad. My mum was crying, and I went and stayed with my mum. And this led to me being staying in a two-bedroom flat just on the outside of Glasgow up until I was about the age of 15. I would often see my dad on the weekends, but I never had like a father figure on a daily basis. And growing up through that time, I never had a lot of friends, a lot of, you know, manly friends or in my life, you know, that could give me direction. And one evening, coming back from school, I think it was coming back from meeting my friend somewhere, I was attacked by two random boys in the neighbourhood that I do not know who they were. I've never met them before, and they attacked me, and this led to me being mentally and socially scarred. I began locking myself in the house. I wouldn't go to school. I would stay in the house on the weekends. I began drinking more heavily, but in the house. And because of this, I began to be a lot more isolated within my relationships with other people. And as years progressed, I grew up with this anger within myself, and it got to the point where I was a lot more scared of what people thought of me than what I thought they would do to me. So I wasn't scared about being attacked anymore. I was more scared of what my own family thought of me. And by the age of 19 years old, my mum, my dad, my cousins, my friends, everyone knew that I got attacked. Everyone knew that I got jumped. I was attacked by two random boys, and they knew that I was small, and they knew that I was weak. And I made the decision to prove them wrong. And in 2009, I decided to join the army. I went to North Yorkshire in Catterick, and it was there that I did 12 weeks of training. And about halfway through the training, I collapsed with all of my kit. I collapsed and I started to hyperventilate. I couldn't breathe, and I remember that I went into a toilet cubicle and I prayed to God. I can't remember what I prayed, but I prayed to God, and about 2 weeks later I was allowed to go, and I left. And when I left, I hit the self-destruct button because I realised now I realised that I was weak, and now I realise that I couldn't be a soldier. Now I realise that I can't be tough and I can't be strong. And I had money left over from the army, and I went and spent it on drinking. I became more and more depressed. I was diagnosed with depression from the doctor. I was put on different antidepressants for a period of years. My dad took me out to see an old minister from my church. He said, "You know, Stuart, I can tell that you're looking suicidal, you're looking depressed. How about I take you out to go see the minister that you remember from your youth?" And I said, "Okay." So he took me out, and I went and seen him. And it was out in the middle of Scotland somewhere. I the nearest shop would be probably about 50 miles, you know. And I was in this minister's office. And as I was in his office, I began shaking. I was only drinking on the weekends, and this wasn't a weekend. This was daytime, you know. And I was in this minister's office, and he said to me, "Stuart, I can't pray for you." He said, "If you want Jesus," he says, "you have to pray for yourself. I'm not going to pray for you." He said, "You need to ask Jesus to help you." And I prayed and I asked Jesus to help me. And so many words, you know, when you first give your life to God, when you first try and pray, it's like trying to speak a different language, you know. It's just, you don't know what to say. And I just prayed like I'd never prayed before. And I believe it was then that I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I went outside, the fresh air felt differently. The fresh air was different. Everything was different. And I wasn't, all of a sudden, this presence that I remember from being that small, this presence of God that was in the house years and years ago, it came back. And it wasn't just around me. It wasn't just around me, you know. When I was younger, it would be around me. But now it was in me, you know. It was in me, and I was a man now, you know. I was a man, and this childlike presence that came in me. But although that happened, my addiction was still leading me astray. I was still going to church, but I was still drinking and smoking on the weekends. And I was going to church, and I heard a man give his testimony of how he used to be a heroin addict, and he went to Teen Challenge. And he got his life sorted, and God changed him. So the seed was planted, you know. And when I got to my worst and my addiction, I was staying in a homeless B&B, and it was then that I remembered Teen Challenge, and I applied to go to Teen Challenge, and I did the Teen Challenge program in Scotland. About halfway through my program, they have these things what you call healing rooms, and basically it's when older members from the church come and they pray for you. They take you one on one and they take you into the room and they lay hands on you and they pray for you. And this woman prayed for me. I told her just a little part of my testimony, a small fraction of my testimony, and as she prayed for me, she says to me, Stuart, I can see a picture in my head of when you were attacked by those boys, and when you were attacked by those boys when you were younger. I seen Jesus standing right there, and he was crying. And I said, "What do you mean he was crying?" And he said, "Well," he said, "he was crying because he knew what type of man you were going to try and be." He said he was crying because he knew all the striving and all the effort that you were going to try and strive to be this person. And then she said, I'm going to tell you what Jesus is saying to me right now to tell you. Jesus doesn't want you to be hard. He doesn't want you to be tough. He doesn't want you to be hard on the inside. He wants you to be soft, and he wants you to be gentle, just as he's been gentle towards you." And I broke down. I just because my family couldn't tell me that. You know, in my family, no man or no woman, no one could tell me that. And all of, you know, the Bible talks about only the Spirit can talk to the Spirit. And that was exactly what happened for me. And I finished the program, and about the end of my program, I wanted to go to the School of Ministry. And I went to the School of Ministry, which is now called the Leadership Academy. It's where Stephen's doing the Teen Challenge. And I was there for about 15 months. And it was over that period that I began to grow in my friendship with Jesus. And as I began to grow in my friendship with the Holy Spirit, just on a daily basis, just listening to His voice, you know, listening to what He's saying to me, you know, the teachings you get are brilliant, but the most important thing is having a relationship with God. And when I came to the end of the Leadership Academy, about a few months previous to it, I says to God that if you want me to go to Bible college, put someone in my path, because I'm not going to go on the internet and look, anything like that. If you want me to go, then you'll make a way. I'm not going to go looking, I'm not going to go chapping on doors I'm not supposed to be chapping on. So I was in church, and he put someone in my path, and the person he put in my path, he knew Danny, and it was funny how it all worked out, and I've been accepted, and I'll be starting Bible college in September. And just quite recently since I've been here, I've realised how important it is to have a friendship with God. You know, it's not until I mean, just breaking off the end of being in Teen Challenge and coming out, you know, it's made me realise of, if I don't have a friendship with God, and if I don't have an encounter with God every day, you know, and hear from God every day, I can't be a brother the way I'm supposed to be a brother, or, you know, or a son the way I'm supposed to be, you know, to each and every person, you know, and I need to hear from God, you know, and that is paramount. And obviously, I believe that with that, I believe that I can go on to do things for God. And right before I came here, I was lying in my bed, and I've shared this before, but I was lying in my bed, and I prayed to God, and I said to God, I don't care if you put me into ministry, I don't care if you make me a pastor or not, all I want is to have a friendship with you, and if I don't have a friendship with God, I don't want to be a pastor, you know what I mean, I don't want to go into ministry. I said to him, I would work in McDonald's all the days of my life as long as I've got a friendship with God, you know, and I believe that that's, you know, if I have that, I remember that I heard a pastor say that it's like, he said, but when you spend time with God on a more intimate level, it's like shoving your fist down into the water. And I never understood what that meant until someone explained it to me, and he said, well, what happens when you put your hand in a cup? He said, when you put your hand in a cup, it overflows. And I believe that's it. If I have a friendship with God, out of everything, everything, you know, in order for this church to be the way it's supposed to be, you know, we have to have a friendship with God. And out of that, everyone will see that in the community, you know. And that's. Thank you. Amen.
So blessed to hear Stuart. Everybody's individual, aren't they? We're all different, and God made us unique, and He's got a different way for every one of us, but He all gets us to the goal. Amen? I can do nothing of myself. We can only do what God does through us. And I thank God for the testimony of Stephen and of Stuart. Thank you, Jesus. They're miracles.